Firstly, why do you think so many people in the New Year's revolution is to be healthy or lose weight?
I think it really comes down to that whole New Year, new goals, you know, and people are focused on changing something about their life that perhaps they'd let go of in that previous year or previous years. And, you know, for many different reasons, people will focus on, you know, having better health. And I think they just find it's a really nice time after Christmas, after the holidays, and it's the start of a new year to, you know, go strong with it.
So how sustainable is that sort of following the resolution? I know that many new resolutions don't get kept. Does it actually become a useful mechanism you found from people? Or?
Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter when you start to become when you choose to start to become healthier. You're right. A lot of New Year's resolutions don't actually stick. So I think the statistics show that, say, by February or even by March, most people have pushed that to the wayside and they've completely forgotten about their resolution. So I think it depends what the goal is and, you know, how determined someone is and how much research they've done about, you know, whether it's actually going to be something sustainable, whatever the resolution is. Yeah.
And so what are some examples? I mean, we hear a lot about fad diets and can you tell us a little bit about some of these around a minute and how you've been critical of them?
Look, there are so many. And being in the practice now for almost 2 decades, you know, there is an endless name that I could be, you know, throwing your way of this fad diet. And really, as an accredited practitioner, there is no way I could hold any of them in high acclaim. You know, they all tend to be quite extreme. And what I mean by that is that they tend to exclude important food groups and definitely important nutrients, that are vital for overall health and well-being, because the fad diet focus is primarily just losing weight. You know, that is, it's sometimes, you know, you might, like you mentioned, FODMAP diet, for instance. Now, that could be looked at as a fad diet, but that's actually very medically sound, where they've realised that there are some foods that trigger unwanted symptoms, and then so it's about then reducing those foods in the diet and trying to fix the problem. You know, so that's a diet, it's not really a fad diet, but the fad diets, the true fad diets, are there. The focus is to really just on weight loss, and it doesn't matter how they're going to achieve it. You know, so it could be, completely stripping a lot of foods from the diet. And of course, that's going to have someone's body react in a certain way where they will lose weight, but it's not sustainable and it's certainly not healthy.
So how important is it that when you're, you know, thinking about this, that you have to tailor a diet towards the individual sort of biological aspects of the person?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, when we're tailoring diets to suit people's individual health needs, we have to look at so many different factors. So even the basics of the gender, the age, the lifestyle, and their circumstances. Are they an active person? Are they more sedentary? What sort of health issues have they accumulated? You know, things like age and physical activity levels are paramount in working out the basics of what is a healthy diet. But I think one thing that a lot of people in general forget, you know, when they're thinking about, okay, what is a healthy diet and what sort of foods do I need to eat? The primary reason for us to have a balanced diet is to acquire what we call essential nutrients. And these essential nutrients are things like vitamins and minerals, omegas, so our essential fatty acids, and our amino acids, which are proteins. And believe it or not, Stephen, there's about 90 different essential nutrients that we require either daily or on a regular basis. And that is kind of, you know, if people, I think, were educated with that a bit more and understood that, they would realize, okay, that's why I can't completely eliminate a food group without it being detrimental to my health, because my body relies on those essential nutrients that food group supplies. And the more people are educated with that sort of thing and what certain foods supply them with certain nutrients, the more they understand, okay, these are the right foods to eat and these are the right foods to avoid that don't supply those nutrients. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. So in the executive style, you wrote a little bit about how many people have personal trainers and focus almost with solely on exercise.
That's right. A lot of people find it, you know, in their own mind, they will think, I will just join a gym, I will go 5 times a week. I will run this. I'll do this. But I don't want to change my diet because I love hot dogs and ice cream. You know, I don't. They would much prefer to just work out for an extra 30 minutes. But that's not the way a healthy lifestyle works. It really doesn't. It's not just about calorie in and calorie out. It's actually a lot to do with the nutrients that I mentioned. So if people are living on the wrong foods and they're exercising a lot, eventually it's going to catch up with them because you can't outrun a bad diet. You just can't.
So finally, could you just give us a little bit of advice? So how would you sort of determine what is the best diet and lifestyle for optimum health?
Right. This is where,
this is a difficult thing because it isn't a one-size-fits-all thing, but I don't know. Yeah.
It's a million-dollar question. Million-dollar question. You know, really, as I mentioned, I think it's about the more educated we can be with the nutrients that our body requires. Mm-hmm. Okay, so understanding those essential nutrients and then building our life and our diets around those foods that supply those nutrients. So, I mean, you could look at guidelines. So we have a national guideline. Every nation has its own dietary guidelines. So we could even be looking over into the Mediterranean or to, you know, different parts of the world. And you can take bits from it and you can work out to go, okay, every dietary guideline has quite a heavy weight on plants. You know, so obviously fruits and veggies are really important in our diet. And then, of course, a lot of them also contain things like seafood to getting those essential fatty acids. So, you know, without me, you know, saying black and white what everyone needs, there are certain food groups that I think a majority of people understand are healthy for them. And I think at the end of the day, if they're lowering the processed foods in their diet and lowering the excuse me, I've got a horse in my throat today, and lowering the refined sugars in their diet, they're going to be finding a more wholesome, nutrient-dense food within their diet that's going to be better for them. So that, it's not the million-dollar answer that you wanted, but it's covering a lot there in terms of just, you know, everyone requires a different amount of food, and they may need a little bit more of something than something else than the next person. But at the end of the day, it's those wholesome foods that we need, and we need them because our body relies on them to function well. If our body doesn't get the nutrients, it just basically doesn't function as well as it could. And so people, if they're wondering why they're waking up and not feeling refreshed, or they're having to, reach for coffees all day just to keep going, these sort of things can be an indicator of a lack of nutrients, a lack of the essential nutrients. So it's really also about looking at symptoms, yeah.
All right, well, thank you for being on the show. That is Tracy Connor, a qualified practicing nutritionist, shedding some light on how we can be critical of fad diets, and you know, just give us a little bit of a basic outlook on what is the sort of way to outlook to find an optimum diet.